I would like to complete the talk on awakening of pure consciousness. I will not go really deep into that subject because there were so many talks given, hundreds and hundreds. I'm addressing the subject for the benefit of those who are still working with pure consciousness, to give them certain both conceptual and energetic support. And also to motivate them stronger to complete this part of the inner work. Yesterday I spoke about the four types of attention, three of them being the representing the spiritual attention, innermost, internal, and pure attention. And in reference to that talk, someone asked whether as internal attention is being replaced by pure attention, how does that relate to the presence of the innermost attention? Whether it is also replaced by pure attention or remains somehow simultaneously present. First of all, the internal attention is not entirely replaced by pure attention, but integrated with pure attention. And so is the innermost attention. The innermost attention remains etherically present, somehow silently supporting the activity of pure attention. You may not notice it because the weight of attention is being transferred to pure attention, but if you investigate your consciousness deeper, you should be able to recognize that the innermost attention remains constant. And I would say if the innermost attention is switched off, the pure attention cannot remain constant. So there is something in the person, even though that he is not directly engaged here in that activity of pure attention, is supporting that activity and actually making it possible. I already spoke about the transference of personal intelligence into pure attention. If the innermost attention, the innermost person is not present, how that transference can be possible? It cannot. So now, let's still do it with eyes open. If you are feeling, recognizing pure me of consciousness through pure attention, and if you make yourself conscious, you pay more attention to what is happening in the person, you should be able to identify the simultaneous presence of the innermost attention. The person simply has to be constantly looking back. So I spoke about the transference of personal intelligence into pure attention, and via pure attention into pure me of consciousness. But there is one more transference that I have not addressed in the last talk, which is the transference of power from the person into pure attention. So some students may have difficulty to activate pure attention. And without pure attention, obviously you cannot do your spiritual work. And activating pure attention is something that occurs spontaneously, but in some cases it doesn't happen due to one's certain spiritual limitations, or actually one is blocking pure attention, for instance by trying too hard or by clinging too much to innermost attention or the internal attention, all these possible scenarios. Because pure attention is something that it comes into existence as a result of our spiritual intention, but in a way it is beyond our control. It's not that you cannot control it, but it is you control its activity, but you have no control over it coming into existence. Because pure attention is not an extension of any center of your identity. It's not even an extension of the internal knower. It comes from the primordial I am. In a sense, it comes into our existence based on grace. But then it has to be met as part of us. It has to be connected to our new identity. It has to be personalized and it has to be empowered. So it is possible that someone has pure attention, but it is not empowered. It is weak. It just does not have that force, does not have enough substance. Pure attention gains stability by us forming a new center of identity, bare attention, which becomes the home, the new home for pure attention. But even before and as well after the bare attention is formed, pure attention has to already have that identity. It is more of a dynamic identity of self. Identity of the spirit of consciousness. And how much the pure attention is empowered will determine how much it is empowered, how much empowered is any center which is awakened through pure attention. So the presence of the innermost person and the innermost attention and the innermost intelligence is necessary for the transference of power from the person. So if the person is weak, his identity is weak, so that he is incapable of that power, of transferring that power, because he is himself powerless. And that the quality of power in the person can exist, can be present, even before the person is fully realized. Like that vital force within the person, so when you are using pure attention you need to have the sense of power. And in order to have the sense of power, you need to be one with pure attention. You need to be inside that light of pure attention. In a way, you need to embody pure attention. It's very difficult to describe how to empower pure attention. You need to intuitively feel what I'm talking about and how to do it. Because it's not something really complicated. It's more complicated is how to explain it. How to conceptualize it. So how do you empower pure me of consciousness? You cannot empower pure me of consciousness if you do not empower pure attention. So ultimately it comes from the person, but at the same time it feels like the person is not involved at all. Because if you feel that the person is doing something, when you try to do it artificially from the person, then you will completely disturb the experience. Because the weight of identity will go too much into the person, while the person here is sort of self-effacing, he's surrendering to, he's giving away for pure attention to act. So I spoke yesterday about meeting oneself as pure me of consciousness, about embodying pure me of consciousness, about personalizing pure me of consciousness, about transcending that habit to objectify pure me of consciousness. What I did not address yesterday is the subject of horizontal surrender. Remember, pure me of consciousness is awakened at the portal to the universal I am. And it already has the energy of universal I am in itself. A combination of pure attention and energy of universal I am is what creates that identity of pure me. But even though the energy of I am is present, universal I am, it does not mean that pure me of consciousness is in a state of surrender. There's just a touch of surrender. But still, pure me is being confined, experienced, that confinement of the dimension of presence. To which we refer is our as our lower individuality, because our higher individuality is experienced in the context of unity with the transcendent I am. That element of horizontal surrender is introduced actually from the very beginning of the work with pure me of consciousness. It is just that initially the emphasis is about solidifying pure me and about making it constant. But the more it is solidified, the more it is constant, the more the element of horizontal surrender comes into play. Not only surrender, the purpose of surrender is reaching samadhi in the universal consciousness, it is also supporting the way pure me is experiencing itself, allowing it to become more natural, more comfortable, giving it a horizontal anchor. So initially you are keeping pure me of consciousness, you are maintaining it. As there's more surrender, you feel like universal I am is maintaining pure me of consciousness, is holding pure me of consciousness. Is in fact remembering pure me of consciousness. However, if you begin surrender too much prematurely, there's always a danger that you will lose solidity in pure me of consciousness. Because surrender involves certain kind of melting into the beyond. And if you melt too much without having enough substance, you will actually lose yourself. So one has to watch out to maintain that equilibrium, that fine balance between having enough solidity in one's identity and that element of melting into the beyond, the element of disappearing into the beyond. I've given many talks about the horizontal surrender, but no matter how much I talked about it, it is still a very subtle subject. It's very subtle information to convey. The idea is that pure me of consciousness is crossing over through the portal at the back of your headspace into the universal I am. It moves to the other side. And it all refers to the way you are inside pure me of consciousness. If you are just present, it's not enough. If you are just continuing and maintaining the continuity of self-remembrance, it's not enough. You need to do something additional. You need to fall back. Horizontal surrender unlike vertical surrender, is not necessarily self-evident. Vertical surrender is more, it's happening by itself, even though obviously you need to support it, because the energy goes down naturally, but the energy does not go back naturally. It has to be redirected. So if one does not have the knowledge of the horizontal surrender, the need to surrender horizontally, probably one will simply never surrender. It's unlikely that it will happen by itself. So one has to have the knowledge that there is such a thing, and that we have such a goal to achieve, this horizontal surrender, and that we have different tools to facilitate that horizontal surrender. Imagine that your head is resting at the back of a wall. And you are sort of holding yourself there. But imagine that you let go, that you let your head rest. Backwards, relax. You let go backwards fully on a physical level in this case. It changes the experience because that wall actually takes away from you the need to maintain, to hold your head in the position. You can fully let go physically of your head. It's actually a very good metaphor. Parallel, resting your head at the back of a wall and then letting go of your head backwards. That should give you the feeling, the feel, what horizontal surrender is about. Only in this case, it's not about your physical head, it's about pure me of consciousness, which is at the back of the head. So the idea is that with eyes open, you experience pure me of consciousness, not just at the back of the headspace, but slightly behind your physical head. Not far, a couple of inches behind the physical head. Jay Krishnamurti shared with someone his experience or the novelty of the experience as being behind the physical head and experiencing the reality outside from the behind of the physical head. Because some people sort of spontaneously can experience it. But It was not his natural state. He was not in pure consciousness naturally. In fact, almost never, because he did not consciously, he did not give himself that goal of making that experience constant. Or he did not develop the tools how to be there, how to get to that place. So for him the natural experience was what we call awareness, which is more inside the head space. So even though you can experience it spontaneously, still you need to master your horizontal surrender in order to make it permanent and natural. So I spoke about it, leaning back, falling back, relaxing backwards. All these terms, they give you the feel how to do it, how to reorientate Pyomi of consciousness horizontally. But even though you may employ all these tools, it is quite possible that you will still not reach horizontal surrender. So we are using more sophisticated approach. Remember, presence always resists absence. Somehow, the construct of presence exists in conflict with absence, being afraid that absence may dissolve it. We have lived in this realm of unconsciousness so long, and suddenly we have come to awaken our presence, to solidify our presence, so we need to cherish it, maintain it. So the fear that it may disappear, be dissolved, is natural. It's a subconscious, spiritual fear of sorts. But here we need to trust that surrender will not dissolve our presence, rather will elevate it to a higher level. But it's not just fear, the presence is also energetically resisting absence. It is just too solid to melt through the portal to the other side. So we need to use different special means in order to facilitate that melting process. And one of the most important tools is what we call penetrative surrender. While pure attention extends itself from the bare attention of pure me, through the portal to the universal I Am, somehow penetrating through it, melting through it, and moving to the other side. Pure attention, unlike bare attention, does not have solid presence. That's why it can pass through that portal easy. Imagine that the portal is like a very, very There's like a very narrow channel, too narrow for the presence of pure me to enter, but wide enough for the pure attention to pass through. And pure attention is also using that the tool of that it has to be tuned in a fine way based on that principle of falling back, relaxing back, leaning back. But in this case, it is pure attention which is doing it, not the bare attention of pure me. But pure attention has to be embodied. If you are not one with pure attention, you cannot do it, because you will see pure attention is something outside of you, that you are some kind of a attention that you are directing towards different areas, rather than being that attention. You are directing yourself towards different areas in pure attention. So, pure attention extends itself from pure me of consciousness horizontally, and then it stops. I believe we call it the third stop of pure attention. The first one is when bare attention of pure me is created. The second one is prior to embodying pure me of consciousness. And that is the third stop. And that pure attention becomes a new bare attention. Because when it stops, it becomes bare attention. Sometimes we refer to it as the second level of bare attention or pure attention, but it is actually the third level, because the first one was when the bare attention of pure me was awakened. So it stops. And you are identified with that pure attention that has stopped. And then, in the past I spoke about the need for self-absorption, pure me of consciousness. So pure me of consciousness self-absorbs, and itself is being able to pass through the portal to the universal I Am, that has been fully opened through that penetrative force of pure attention. But recently, I mentioned that there's no need for an actual self-absorption. Rather, there is a need for shift of the weight of identity from pure me into that new bare attention of pure attention, which is already behind the physical head. So basically, simply speaking, you fully identify with that new bare attention and you forget pure me of consciousness. And then you are on the other side. Quantum leap. As they say in Zen, the goose is out. The goose was from very little, or from an egg, was put in a bottle, and it grew up in that bottle, but now it is stuck because it cannot go out, cannot pass through the neck of the bottle. So the Zen question is, how can you get this goose out without breaking the bottle? And the Zen answer more or less is that the goose is already out. So it's a bit similar here. Pure your consciousness is already free. Awakening of pure consciousness, as I mentioned, is the first level of transcendence, first level of liberation. First level of true freedom. And how deeply you have realized that freedom, how deeply you have transcended on that level, will determine your future evolution. That's why it's so important to make it perfect. You need to rush. You need to be in a hurry. But you need to also give yourself a time to complete this work. Because if you rush too much, thinking about the next levels of attainment without completing, without creating that foundation, that incompleteness in pure consciousness will haunt you. Will keep disturbing you on all levels.